The Dr. STEM Show is here to provide discussions about topics that will help promote healthy relationships, self-image, and success for teens, parents, and the community. Our young people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. The Dr. STEM Show, hosted by Dr. Stem Malatini, will foster these discussions and encourage your participation. Listen every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 9 p.m. GMT on Voice America Empowerment.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Imagine a world where everyone knows they can make a difference. What if controversy is your ticket to success and new possibilities, to being a leader in creating a different reality? Do you have the courage to create something greater than has ever existed before? This is The Value of Controversy, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Join us now for the tools, techniques, and awareness you need to create a world that you would be grateful to live in. Now, here are your hosts.
Everybody, and welcome to The Value of Controversy. My name is Ann Maxwell, and I'm an Access Consciousness Facilitator. And today, my co-hosts are Jonas Svensson. Hi, Jonas.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
And also Susanna Mittermeier. Hi, Susanna.
Hello, Jonas. Hello, Ann.
Hi. So excited to be here today to talk about this topic, which is going from slave to master. But before we get into that, what I'd love to do is to invite all of you who are listening to the show today to participate. And you can call toll-free in North America at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141, or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. And we would love to have your questions. We would love to have your participation. It would be awesome. So, going from slave to master. So, have you ever followed the rules of this reality and done everything that you were told to do and done everything that was expected of you? And it still didn't work out the way you were promised it would? Jonas, have you ever done that?
I have.
Do you have a story to tell? Like, was there a fairy tale ending?
Oh, there was no fairy tale ending. Bummer. But
no happily ever after in the white picket fence with 2.5 kids in a car?
No. Not even 2.2 kids.
Not even 2.2 kids.
No. I live in Sweden, and we have this famous car from Sweden called Volvo. You've probably heard it. They say it's the safest and most boring car in the world. It's not as boring, but it's safe. But anyway, it's boring too. But
well, and the driver driving the left-hand lane slow.
But that was as far as I got to my fairy tale. I'm sorry. But it was funny because this. Like, what you just wrote was actually exactly how I lived my life up till I turned 28 or 30 or something. Around that time, I started to realize that I was not creating my life. I was actually just creating other people's lives. And I was just sitting in the passenger seat, and I was just joining the ride. And there was nothing of me creating what I actually wanted to do. It was just colored by everybody else's points of views about how you should do it, why you should do it, when you should do it, what's right to do and what's not right to do, and which is the best way of doing it, which is the most effective way of doing it. And that totally ran my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I was never able to achieve that either, And what I did was I sort of buried myself for years in alcohol and drugs, and just it's like it was the only way I could cope with the fact that I was so different from all of that. It was just simply not attainable or reachable for me. And so I just checked out. I checked out for years and years. And when I came back in, it's almost like I gave myself permission to be a little bit more of who I was. But I faulted myself and blamed myself hugely, judged myself for still not fitting in and not looking like everybody else did and not talking like everybody else did. And so I just set up this, it's almost like these defense systems and this kind of isolated existence where I was really much more comfortable being by myself than I was being around other people. And, you know, over the years and certainly since Access, that's changed a whole lot, a whole lot.
And we're glad to hear.
And we're glad, yes. So that question, like, what if there was another way, right? And,
yeah.
And what if that space of, it's almost like the idea that you're not the effect of other people's realities.
Yeah. But what I realized is that, so I was doing this. I had a great job. I did the right career. I did everything I was supposed to. And I was never really happy about it anyway, and I never fully understood that until somewhere around 28 or 30 or something, which might maybe be pretty early for a lot of people. But the total point is that as long as I valued other people's points of views and reality above myself, above my reality, and above what I knew, and also even just above what I actually wanted to have as my life, then it was actually really, really, really hard to move from the passenger seat to the driver's seat.
Right.
Because you cannot buy into everybody else's point of view, value them higher than you, and hope that you will end up in the driver's seat. So
yeah.
It wasn't until I actually realized that and decided, like, hey, I'm not happy with sitting in the passenger seat anymore. That was actually when I started to change things.
Yeah.
But I think for many people, it's also to realize that, I mean, how many people are actually happy in the driver's seat? I mean, in the passenger seat, because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of this place where it's familiar, it's comfortable. You know where you are. You know where you think you know where you're going. You don't have to know where you're going. Because I remember I had that, you know, I kind of had that when I, like you, Jonas, until, you know, 27, 28. And I had this thing going on where I just, like you said, I tried to do it right. And I created my reality basically on what my family thought was right to do, you know, getting a man, getting married, getting children, and all of that. And I was so young when I created the life exactly the way my parents wanted me to create it. And I was like surprised, you know, I was 27 and I had a house in the suburbs. I had a man, I was pregnant and all of that, you know, everything was just so right. And I thought that I had kind of a pride in that, you know, because I always thought I was so wrong, and finally there was something I was doing right. You know, somehow I was, you know, people were judging me as doing something right, and I was so happy that I finally found something that, you know, that was kind of right, at least, you know, a little bit right.
And that's the thing, as long as we're making ourselves wrong, we always try to search for things that would make us more right, and we normally search them from outside of us, which means that we're trying to get other people to value us or acknowledge us or say something good, give us the feedback that we're looking for so we can prove to ourselves that we're not as wrong as we have decided we are.
Well,
And then you hold on to things because you found finally something that you're right in, even if it kills you, even if it, you know, diminishes you and limits you, but at least you're right in some way.
Exactly.
And Did you guys surround yourselves by people who actually did validate you and acknowledge you? I mean, that was the
absolutely
thing that really...
Absolutely
no.
Not.
Right? And it seems
what
like,
are you accusing us for, Adam?
I know, right? It's like the harder I tried, the less validation I got, and the more I blame myself, and the more miserable I was. And that's awesome, you guys, that you were able to do it to the extent that you did. I'm not sure I even got there until like way, way, way later.
And you know, I think even like the people that I surrounded myself that didn't value me or validate me at all, I actually don't think they valued themselves or validating themselves either, which was kind of the whole curse in this situation.
Yeah.
So they could be CEO or a marketing director in a big successful company, but they still didn't value themselves. And I tried to search my future from looking in through theirs. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they validate, like what they do is they validate your limitations. They validate your limited reality because it's also their limited reality and they want to also be right. And
right.
When they validate yours, then they don't, you know, you don't challenge their reality so they don't get to be wrong.
Right.
So it works in all those ways. But what is even greater than validation? Well, it's actually acknowledgement. And who is out there that has, there are not as many people who are acknowledging us for who we truly are. So what if we could start with ourselves and start acknowledging us for who we truly are and what we're truly capable of, rather than waiting for somebody else to validate. Because validation is always about limitations and not about possibilities.
Yeah. And that,
yeah, it always starts from the wrongness. The only reason you need validation is because you have a judgment of wrongness in place.
Yeah,
right. Well, and the whole idea of acknowledging myself just flew in the face of everything that I'd been taught, which is that it's self-serving or you're full of yourself or you're blowing yourself, it's selfish, like all that kind of stuff. And so anytime I even came close to acknowledging myself, I go instantly to the wrongness of how cocky I was being or how sort of boastful or narcissistic or whatever, and then I would just squash it, right? It's like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I so remember because I already had a tendency of going my own way and trying my own things. And you know, every time I did that, there was always these people around that said, no, you can't do that, that will never work. And you know, if it didn't work, they really like emphasized on that, see, it didn't work. And I just felt
I got turn after turn,
and they were just kept on like talking about, oh, you need to be more humble, you, who do you think you are? And that also led to I got a totally just disoriented and malfunctioned point of view about what humble is. So humble became this energy for me that I was supposed to not be too much. I was supposed to not do anything that anybody else did. And I was supposed to not be more than anybody else.
Yeah. And then in addition to, I told you so, it was serve you right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know what? This is, like, so what we're talking about, so with this entity, that is what we actually mean with what we're talking about being the victim. So we're not talking only about victims from somebody that has been physically abused or mentally abused, which maybe this was, but anyway. But it's really about this entity of victims. That's when we are not in the driver's seat, or actually we could even be in the passenger seat, but it's us. It's you, it's I, that actually takes charge and lead our life from wherever we are. But we're sitting behind and just watching when somebody's driving or riding the car.
And what you bring up, Jonas, is brilliant. The part about abuse, like every time you make something or someone more valuable than you, you're abusing you. It's really not about like you had a bad childhood or this and that. It's like every time you listen to someone else and make what someone else says more right and true than what you know, you're abusing you. What if there's something different possible we can open up today?
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. And you're abusing you. And so in addition to being a victim, then there's also not having your voice and being like the voiceless one, right,
mm-hmm.
not speaking up. What if that's actually a form of abuse, too, where you don't step out and you don't say what you know, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think about how we were raised and how kids are raised today as well,
mm-hmm.
like and made to be wrong for having the awareness that they have and saying something about it or mentioning something and being like put down or squashed and then you learn not to trust yourself, then you learn not to honor yourself, and then you learn to essentially abuse yourself the way you are abused, the way probably your parents were abused and generationally going all the way back, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're just taking all these things that other people are doing because we're creating our reality from their point of view or from their reality. So we're just keep on doing what they did, maybe in another way, but it becomes the same energy.
Cool. So one of our colleagues, Marilyn Bradford, is on the line and has some stuff to talk about. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Anne. Thank you for bringing me on. This is such a cool show. It's really inspiring.
Yeah.
And when I was listening to you all talking now about the victim, and then when you were reading it earlier about the being the slave and the master,
uh-huh.
it just brought up so much for me, because in America we have this huge history of slavery. I mean, it's just incredible, you know, that we brought all of these people over from Africa and made them slaves. And that energy is so much about you don't have any rights. I mean, they would separate people. They would separate families. They would, you know, strip everybody down to nothing and have people bid on them. You're not actually considered in the same class of beings as the so-called masters. And in an odd way, you know, that's what my experience was when I bought into the idea that I had to let everybody else be the master, that they knew better. And somehow that sort of, and maybe this is just America, but I don't know, that sort of gave them permission. It was like I was a less than, at which I totally bought into for a while, you know, and I really didn't have any rights except to do what they told me to do. And if I didn't do it in one way or another, they let me know how displeased that they were. And I look at that now and I'm like, I can't believe I did that and bought it hook, line, and sinker. It's so insane. But that was certainly true. I think that's brilliant. I think it was you, Anne, who came up with the slave master.
Cool.
Because in a lot of ways, actually how it plays out.
Yeah. So
because we're actually get trained.
Great place
to
break right now. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club. And each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hi, this is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. I'd like to talk to you a moment about hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure, one of the most judgeable offenses on planet Earth. Ever notice? How often do you allow yourself to choose something for the pure pleasure and joy of it, without judgment? How often do you choose to live your life from the adventure of what could show up, rather than the conclusion of what you or someone else decided it should be? What if every day you could wake up and ask, if I were truly living today, what would I choose right away? Join me for a six-part teleclass series called 69 Shades of Hedonism. We'll unwrap the beauty and adventure of hedonistic living together. Are you ready to play? Oh, and a warning, if you'd rather feel dry and brittle rather than abundant and juicy and joyful, you should definitely refrain from signing up for this particular series. Participants may experience an increased level of pleasure in all areas of life. Are you willing to risk that? If so, go to drdanehere.com/teleclasses. drdanehere.com/teleclasses and find out more. See you there. Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Hey, hello everybody, and welcome back to the show. My name is Ann Maxwell, and I'm here with Jonas Svensson and Susanna Mittermeier. Hi, you guys, and we are talking about From Slave to Master, and we just stopped right in the middle of this awesome conversation that we were having about being enslaved and seeking validation from other people's points of view and enslaving ourselves to stuff that we're not and that we can't even begin to create. And then just at the break, we started talking about what it's like or what the question, if you could create your life, what would you like to have it as, right?
Yeah. We were talking about, like, when you're enslaved and you're in the middle of enslavement, you don't even know that you are enslaved. It's like you're not even aware of it because you just keep on doing the same thing. It feels heavy. It doesn't feel good. But you're like, you don't even ask a question because you think, well, that's my reality. That's it. It's like when you grow up as a kid, you know, you have your parents' reality as that reality. And you don't even ask questions of that there's a different possibility. Like, I remember as a kid, when I, you know, I had my parents and their realities, and then I started to meet other parents, and I'm like, oh my God, parents are so different. Like, I thought my parents and the way they are is like, that's how parents are. That's how a mom is, and that's how a dad is. And then when I started to meet other kids, I'm like, oh wow, this is like, there are so many different ways of doing it and of creating your reality. So it's really when you start asking a question of, wow, what is truly my reality? A different adventure, like the adventure starts. And we were talking about that, like the first time we were asked those questions about what, you know, what is your reality? What is my reality? Like, we were all like, what? Like, nobody ever asked us that question. Right. And the first time we were asked those questions, like, what? You know, like looking like a dog watching television, because it's like really weird to be asked that question when you never did have that question in universe.
Right. And when you've always measured yourself up against everybody else who's achieved better what you thought you were supposed to achieve and actually weren't able to, right? I mean, So what if all of you out there, all the listeners today, what if you could begin to ask yourself questions like, all right, if I were creating if I had the life that I would love to have, what would it be, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like from a kid-like perspective, like, what would you put in it? Like, what would be the, what would it be like? What would it look like, taste, smell, feel like, be like, right? Like, the
yeah.
end of it. What would that be? What is that?
And it's a yeah. really big question. And when it, you know, when you ask that question, it's not that you have to, you know, now draw the picture of your super duper, you know, mega fun reality. You can just go, in this moment, right now, when I'm sitting with my friends and we're drinking coffee or whatever, right now, if I would choose my reality, what would I choose?
Right.
Would I keep on talking, or would I just sit quiet? Would I take another sip of coffee, or would I, you know, whatever it is. But it's like when you start choosing in the moment, then you can start to create the reality that actually works for you.
And what if it's that simple? What if it's mm-hmm.
what exactly
like grand design? It simply is choosing every 10 seconds. And
it is
yeah.
that it is that simple. But the
yeah.
problem is that so many times we're sitting there with other people and we're more in the question. If it's like, is it okay if I say something? You know, I'm not sure. Or what should I say? Or what can I say? Well, okay, can I say that? You know. So that's when we become that victim or a slave again, because we're not creating our life
yes.
anymore. We're actually trying to create our life through their universe.
So
yes,
do you had a clearing. Do you want to?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like you have to go into these people's universe, and you have to think like, oh, what do they want me to say? If they're gonna like me, if they're gonna judge me as good as a good friend, as somebody who's likable, what should I do and what should I say? And it just takes you totally, it's like where you're not included in the computation of your life, because you always live your life from the perspective of other people's realities.
Cool.
Exactly.
So
let's jump to the driver's seat.
Yes.
Oh. yeah. So I have a clearing, you guys.
Hey.
Wait, so what creation of you as not you are you using to validate other people's realities?
Oh,
and
everything that is. Everything
God,
that
billion.
Is. That's can we destroy and I create it all?
Yes.
yeah.
What record of that for the book all I just put? Sorry, that was funny.
Are we excited or not?
We are.
Cool. Yes.
Hey, let's do it again, Anne.
Okay, so what creation of you as not you are you using to validate other people's realities?
Mm-hmm.
And everything that is times a godzillion, we destroy it and create it.
Yes.
Pod Pocker.
Right, wrong, good, bad, fun, and fuck, all nine shirts, boys, and beyond.
Yay.
Donut, you're the Pod and Pocker.
I am the official Pod Pocker.
He's the Pod and Pocker. Cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a rapper.
And so we have our friend actually contributed with a great process too. So let's bring that in too.
Yes.
Because we're on the fire here.
Yes. And can we bring Leeson in?
Oh, we can. But let's do this process before because otherwise we will not be able to hear Leeson.
Okay.
What stupidity are you using to create you as the backseat driver of your life? You are choosing. And everything that is times gazillion, do it straight and create it all.
Yes. Right and wrong,
good
and bad, pot and talk, all night, shorts, boys and beyond.
We're funny today.
So, Leeson, hi.
Hi, I love being introduced and that you guys create even more space for me. So I'm like, I'm so happy. It feels like you get the red carpet. I'm like, awesome, guys. How does it get any better? We should do that every time someone wants to speak. Let's do another process and get more shit out of the way. When you guys are talking about this enslavement, I was just looking at myself. I'm like, I know. You know, when you work a lot, we get aware about all your children and things that have been in your life. And I'm like, how do I enslave myself every day? Or how do I even choose that sometimes in my life? And I was looking at like doubt, points of views, judgments, insecurity, and all those energies where like they just pop up. And then
or like if I hear myself or somebody else saying I cannot, or it's not possible, or I'm not sure, all that I was looking at, like all that is enslavement to not creating your life and stopping you from all the possibilities that are there. Because basically everything is possible, but we have our beautiful mind.
Right. Our beautiful mind that goes around like a squirrel cage, right?
Yeah, but if you only look at doubt, how much do you enslave yourself with doubt?
Awesome. Always,
like,
right?
How often do we listen to doubt? I don't know why we do it, but it's really amazing.
Well, I don't know. Isn't that that the classic response to anything new? I don't know, right?
And who cares?
It is.
Who cares if we know? We can just choose something else.
But and back to the question of what would you like your life to be? I don't know, right? Isn't that the
That's the greatest way of invalidating ourselves. Like every time we say I don't know, you totally invalidate you and take you out of knowing.
What if you had somebody just poking you every time you said that?
So so what is doubt?
Well, doubt is where you basically take yourself out of being, out of the ability to be. Like, it's like you ask something, so what would I like my, like, for example, you go on a date, right? Or you have two possibilities. There's this guy, there's guy A, and there's guy B, right? And you ask, so if I go on a date with guy A, what would my life be like 5 years from now? Okay, and then you get an awareness of the future. It's like you just know what this will create. But then you say, no, but he's so cute and, you know, and he has money and he has, you know, a Porsche and blah, blah, blah. Your brain gets in the way, right? And has all those points of view.
And other brothers have these points of view, right?
And then, right? And then you ask about guy B, right? You ask, so if I go on a date with guy B, what will my life be like 5 years from now? And you get a different awareness. And you have the information there. It's all there. And then you go, well, but if I go on a date with guy A, then maybe I missed something from the other guy. It's like you constantly go into this, you know, you have the download of the information of what your choices will create in the future. You know, but you're denying to know. And then you always go into the doubt, the absence, the not being, the not knowing in favor of, you know, connecting to this reality, connecting to the wrongness of you. But the thing is, we all know, like when you're about to have sex with somebody, you know what that will create in the future. You know, your body tells you so loudly, that's not a good idea, don't do it. And then you do it anyway.
Right.
And then we all know how that ends up.
So is one of the things that you're saying that doubt isn't even real? It's like it's not real, right?
Yeah. It's not even real. No, it's everything we use to distract ourselves from what's actually possible for us.
Yeah,
because when we get into that head trip, and that actually Susanna was presenting very well by creating a head trip in my universe, thank you very much, it's like that's when we get lost, like because we're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and forward and backwards and up and down and in and out and off and on and like, oh, where am I and where am I going? And I have no clue anymore and I don't know anything anymore. And oh, what am I going to do?
Should I stay or should I go?
Exactly. And how many of those times when we do that, we actually end up with not choosing or doing or being or creating anything?
Well, and then isn't that also the road to being a victim or not having a voice or feeling like put upon, like all that kind of stuff, right? When you pretend that you don't know, there are all kinds of paths that are available for you to walk down, but they don't lead to you. They lead away from you. And into sort
you
of
go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and nothing gets created.
Right.
And you're making yourself the victim of your sweet little brain, and everything you've decided is true and real in this reality that makes you so right.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because it's really like that when we're saying like I don't know or I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to be. we're actually creating our future from most of the time not choosing to be or do or create anything, because we have just decided we don't know, so we cannot do anything. I don't know how to do that. And now you have just stated that you will never do it because you don't have decided you don't know.
Right. Yeah.
And when you sit at home on your sofa and you wonder, should I take this job or this job? Well, if I take this job, then maybe, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then you never go out and actually choose something. But if you would start and just choose something, you would get the awareness, the download of the awareness of what that choice will create. It's like you just choose one of those, and then you can always, you know, you can just change your choices in every 10 seconds. But choosing helps, I can tell you.
Oh, choosing helps. And that's what we a lot of times are excluding when we are in that I don't know space, instead of, okay, so apparently I don't have the answer, or I don't know exactly what to do. Okay, so instead of staying in that, okay, so what can I choose now that will actually change the situation and the future?
Yeah, right. Cool. And there's a really hard process you can use. It's really difficult. It's, what stupidity are you using to create the doubt you are choosing?
Awesome.
Da, 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 da.
And everything that is times a godzillion, we just try and create it.
Yes.
Right, wrong,
right, and wrong, good, about for the book, all that shows.
There is one beyond.
The bomb pot competition.
Yeah. So, Jonas, have an awesome clearing, too. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, I would love to do that, because I see how we are sticking ourselves in all these I don't know. And instead of staying in that, it's actually time to move on and choose or do or be or create something. So whenever that happens, whenever you hear yourself saying I don't know, run this. What facilitation of your future are you using with all the I don't know you are choosing?
Cool.
So everything that is time consuming, can we destroy and uncreate it all?
Yeah. Right and wrong.
Right and wrong.
Pot and pock, all mine, shorts, boys, and beyond.
So what happens when Jonas runs the clearing? Who's pot and pocking, guys?
It's Anne. So if you're at home and you're going to run this on yourself, you go, what bastardization of my future am I using with all the I don't know I am choosing?
And then you run the clearing all by yourself.
Yes. You do. Or you call Anne and she will run it for you. So everything that is, time to tell you, can we destroy that cradle?
Yes. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond.
And then you become as crazy as we are, and you talk into each other's mouths, and you just have fun and are really crazy. So that's just a side effect. Enjoy.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You just laugh and be silly. And right.
Yeah. It's
all
so
right.
Funny. So I just realized, like, when we're talking about this, because we all know that it's all about choosing. And if you don't choose to do something, you don't get out of your I don't knows. You don't get out of where you're stuck. You don't get out of other people's universes. And I just realized that there is a big, big highway. There's no speed limit, but there's a highway between the slave and the master. And you know what the highway is called?
What?
Oh, we do know, but say it.
The choice highway.
The choice highway, right? Awesome.
I'm sorry. I couldn't stop myself.
All right, so we're going off on the choice highway for another quick break, and we'll be right back, you guys. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour, and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head. that when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and as a result cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are listening to The Value of Controversy. We invite you to participate in our program today. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to radio@thevalueofcontroversy.com. Now, back to The Value of Controversy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Anne Maxwell here with Jonas Svensson and Susanna Mittermeier. And during the break, we were talking with about choice, and Marilyn Bradford actually had some wonderful insights. And Marilyn, would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, thank you, Anne. First of all, I think I'd really like to start out with a clearing, which is one that I've used a lot, which is, what stupidity are you using to create the one choice to rule them all are you choosing?
Awesome.
Great one.
And everything that is can be destroyed and create that times a godzillion.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad,
all nine pod pox, shorts, boys, and beyond.
Thanks, Anne.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I noticed in my life was that I would be present for like 30 seconds, and I'd make a choice, like, I'm going to graduate school. And I knew it was light, but then it was like, okay, the next 4 years are set in stone. All I have to do is go on automatic pilot and go to graduate school. But it never occurred to me that actually creating and generating your life and not buying into other people's realities is about being present and constantly choosing and looking at the energy and going against the logical mind, which is often what it is. I remember I was looking at going to a class that Dr. Dane here was doing, an ESB, and there was one in Denver, which was easy for me to get to, and one in Canada, which was not easy for me to get to. And I went, Denver, Canada, Denver, Canada. Oh, I'm going to Canada. Denver doesn't read.
Right.
And in that 10 seconds, I knew that it was light to go to Canada, and then I just kept asking questions. Still, you know, we're told part of this reality is it's not okay to change your mind, because that's what actually makes you controllable to other people. So I think the cool thing about choice is, if you're willing to be present all of the time, you just choose, and then you choose, and 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 you don't have to be consistent. It's
right.
Following the energy.
Cool. Which flies in the face of, you already make up your mind. All right, now stick with it, right? And the automatic pilot of following the choice forever and ever and ever, even though it actually didn't work for you from the minute you made it, right?
Right, exactly.
And that's how we're creating that no choice universe too, or one choice universe.
Yeah.
Which is, what's the difference between one choice universe and no choice universe?
Yeah. So you guys, we've gotten some emails from some listeners. Would you? How about if we read them and take a look at them?
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
So if making other people or things more important or special than we are is invalidating us, how do you rectify listening to Access and making it more important than where we are now? So does anybody want to take that one?
So, I would actually love to expand on that, because the thing is that when we are invalidating us and making other people more valuable, what we're actually doing is that we're actually excluding the knowing that we truly have, and you are the one with your knowing, and I'm the one with my knowing, and our knowing is this capacity to actually know. It's not the cognitive mind. And here's also the biggest difference for me in my universe between Access and a lot of other modalities or techniques, is that in Access we're always talking about, and that the most important thing that we're trying to achieve with everything we're doing in Access is to actually contribute to people so we can empower them to know what they know. Not know what we know, or not know what Access know, not know what Gary knows. Actually empower you to know what you know. So what we are talking about is not the end product. It's not the answer. It's not the solution. It's not the possibility. It's just a possibility, and hopefully it can be an inspiration and an invitation to see different possibilities and to access more of the knowing that you all have all over the world, because that's really truly what we need, is that everybody's accessing and stepping into more of their knowing so we can actually all contribute to creating a different reality.
And I
know many people who also use Access as the answer. It's like, oh, finally I found something where I feel light, where I feel acknowledged. Just be aware of when you're doing that, because that's not what it's intended to do. It's like when you're a handy man or a handy woman, and you have your toolbox, you have your whatever the tools are called in English. I have no idea. I know what a hammer is, and then you have other tools. It's like those tools are not greater than you. They're just tools you can use whenever they work. It's really a pragmatic system that's just designed to work, and it's not greater than you. And if you're making it greater than you, you know, be aware of it and change it. If you'd like.
And it's not a question about throwing. It's not a question of throwing away anything that you've been using up until now that's worked for you.
No,
it's not a question of doing that at all. They really are just tools and processes that people can use or can choose to use or choose not to use. And so there's no right or wrong way about it. And anybody that makes Access bigger than them or bigger than you is
mistaken. And thank you. And thank you so much, the person that sent in that question, because it actually stresses an energy that so many people are functioning from. And and like Susanna said, when you make Access the answer, you have actually just made Access not Access anymore.
Right, exactly.
Because as soon as you made Access the answer, it's not Access anymore. So
And it's like,
thanks for that question.
And you can also, I mean, what I love about those tools is like you can apply them to everything. Like I'm a psychologist, I'm using it in psychology and in psychiatry in a normal reality setting, and I use those tools and use them in the way they work there. If you're a gardener, you can use them there. It's really just like you don't throw out what you have created so far. It's just adding to it and making it even greater if it works for you.
Yeah.
And you know.
Awesome question.
Cool. So we have another question.
We have another question. So do you think doubt is our way of paralyzing ourselves and doing nothing?
Yes.
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 One of many ways that we have.
It's probably one of many ways, but that's definitely one of the symptoms from doubt.
Right, and we talked. This question may have come in before. We talked a lot about this. All right, and another one. Hi, guys. Fantastic show tonight. I still find it hard to choose when I'm unsure of where I act as me. I am acutely aware of that. I channel other people's thoughts, feelings, and emotions all the time. What can I be or do to know when I'm just me? That's a great question.
Well, it's a really great question.
Amazing. It's really cool. And it's like, what are you and what are you not? It's like where people try to define themselves as something. Like, I'm not other people's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. That's also a way of trying to define you. What if you're everything? And what if you are like this infinite being that can encompass every energy and everything and everyone around you, where you don't have to think this is me or this is not me? Because every time we try to think this is me, this is not me, this is where you create a separation. And separation takes a lot of energy and a lot of force to create. So what if you are just the infinite? What if you are the infinite being you truly be? Who would you be?
Yeah.
What would be possible for you?
And an awesome question is, who are you? Who are you being right now? And if you were being you, who would you be, as a way of tapping into what Susanna is talking about, right? And what do you know?
Yeah.
What do you know about you that you're pretending not to know? It's like that, right? That there is no separation and that we are connected.
Yeah. And other people's thoughts, feelings, emotions are not bad. They're not yucky. You know, it's just an interesting point of view. And you don't have to defend yourself against them or think you have to protect yourself against them. This is what I learned as a psychologist. You know, you have to put up the barrier and you have to make sure you're not affected by other people's emotions. Like, that's not something that creates any difference. It doesn't create any freedom for anybody. What if you could just pull your barriers down and just receive other people's thoughts, feelings, and emotion, including your own, and not make it relevant or important or significant? It's just an interesting point of view. What contribution can those be to you that you haven't acknowledged yet?
Awesome.
And, you know, sometimes their thoughts might be bad, or at least naughty.
But that's a great thought.
And Jonas would know about that, huh?
I like that.
I never do that, though. But
no, Jonas.
Like, so now I'm going to be serious again.
But, uh-huh.
Like what Susanna said, it's like the solution is probably not to find the correct or the right definition of who you be. It's actually much more about being in the question. And when we're talking about this whole topic for today, going from slave to master, it's really about choosing and choosing for you. And by using like great questions as like, so if I choose this, what will my life look like in 3 years or 5 years or 6 months or 3 months or 50 years? And just ask that question. If I choose this, what will my life look like? And ask questions. Okay, so if I was choosing my reality now, what would I choose?
Yeah.
Because you will always get this heavy energy if it's not expanding that universe for you.
And to give yourself, it's almost like if you haven't done this before or if this is pretty new to you, to cut yourself some slack and give yourself permission to, it's almost like to practice it, to just try it out. And what if there's no right way or wrong way of doing it? And what if you really can trust your body to give you information? And what if you can trust you to know what works for you and what the way one of us knows that may be very different from the way others of us know that. And what if, and again, there's no right, no wrong way of doing it. What if you can just give yourself the benefit of the doubt that you actually do know and ask the universe to show you how you know, right?
Yeah,
and
because it's not about finding you. It's actually about choosing you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Cool.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And most people are trying to find themselves instead of choosing and being themselves.
Right.
Stop finding.
Stop finding. Right. What if you're not lost? And then first I was lost and then I was found. What if it's not a question of that at all?
Exactly.
It's just a question of awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we had some.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for those questions, you guys. That was wonderful.
So we had some really wonderful clearings.
Yeah, and I think our time also starts running out.
Okay.
What if we end with the backseat clearing again, so we can stop being in the backseat?
Awesome.
What stupidity are you using to create you as the backseat driver of your life you are choosing? And everything that is time to consider, can we destroy and uncreate it all?
Yes. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond.
Cool.
Thank you, everybody, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And we will be back again next Tuesday and look forward to seeing you then, hearing you then. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Value of Controversy. What questions did we create for you today? Write in and tell us. Please join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about us, please visit our website at thevalueofcontroversy.com. Until our next show, be controversial and have a great week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.